you. We're going to go on to the third case of the day, and that is case 2001-3432, Corey H. et al. Versus the Board of Education of the City of Chicago et al. And good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm John West, together with William Campbell and John Borgo for the appellant. The case is here on appeal from the District Court's denial of appellant's motion to intervene in this action. This panel, of course, has before it the Reed L. action, which was argued last fall, which was brought by the same persons who are seeking to intervene in this case. So I'm certain that you're familiar with the underlying facts that prompted the motion to intervene, as well as prompting the Riedel separate case. I just remind you that the underlying action was brought 10 years ago under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act as an effort to reform the placement process for special education students in the Chicago public schools. The interveners were special education students and teachers from school districts outside Chicago moved to intervene last year when it became apparent that as part of the remedy that was being imposed for the violations of law that had been found in Chicago, that the State Board of Education would impose a new system for certification of special education teachers, which in interveners' view would result in placing unqualified teachers in special education classrooms, indeed even teachers who had no training whatever in the disability they were being asked to teach.
Mr. West, I wonder if you could address, to begin with, the district court's finding about the timeliness of your effort to intervene, because obviously this is a continuum, and at the point when you did intervene, everything was pretty much set, and you knew exactly where you stood, but 6 months before, a year before, maybe even more than a year before, about a year and a half before, the stakes were evident, even from the district court's opinion, the 1998 opinion, the fact that the Illinois teacher certification standards were on the table is easy to see, because in Illinois, as of 1988, there was not a separate statute that governed teacher certification in Chicago versus teacher certification elsewhere. You're either going to talk about it for Illinois or you're not going to talk about it at all. And the district court thought that by waiting so long, you really prevented the process from working the way it was supposed to. You didn't have your seat at the table, and you came in at the very end and wanted to unravel things.
That's right, Your Honor, and that's certainly one of the key issues here, the timeliness prong of the intervention test. Certainly there were issues of certification that were raised in the district court's 1998 opinion in the settlement agreement that happened a year later. The question is when the interveners should have recognized that their interests were directly at stake. This court has held, in Judge Posner's opinion in U.S. versus Chicago, that an intervener cannot be required to intervene until the state district, until some action is taken in the court that directly brings its interests into play. When in the Judge Gettleman's earlier opinion and the settlement agreement, there is discussion generally of certification standards, but there are no specific certification standards at stake here. What we're concerned with is the specific rules that the Illinois State Board of Education has proposed, has promulgated, in response to Judge Gettleman's orders.
ISBA was found liable for implementing an illegal teacher certification system. Weren't the statewide implications of the case really apparent to everyone?
Certainly the statewide implications of the case were apparent, but there were
And the notion of categorical classifications for teachers, special education teachers. I mean, I think you have defined, this is really, I mean, it's a very interesting theoretical question, because you want us to say that only when the ISBA had come up with the final proposal was it evident that they would move from, you know, an 8-category system to a 4 or a 5 to a 1 or however, you know, we want to do that. But But I think the district court judge saw this as something which, at a minimum, by the time there's the ISB settlement agreement, we know that a movement will be made from a more categorical system to a less, and that's when the teachers know that their interests are implicated. They don't know what the end of the line is going to be yet, but that's the whole point of the timeliness requirement.
Well, there are two points, Judge Wood. First of all, no, we don't know. The teachers are not, per se, opposed to changes in the certification system, even some movement in the direction of a more non-categorical system. But there are lots of ways that you can have a more non-categorical certification system. The State Board of Education had four proposals before it, and it chose the most extreme one, which was developed contrary to the advice of its expert panel.
No, I understand that, but what worries me is you admit that you know that changes in the certification requirements are going to be there, and it seems to me the rule of law you would like us to adopt is one that says you get to sit out and kind of play a game that says only if we really like the thing that you finally have come up with will we decline to intervene, and instead of having a seat at the table while the process is underway, we're just going to wait and jump in at the very end. And that's, I think, what the district court was worried about because of the implications for litigation management, the implications for eternal lawsuits. That's the trouble.
Well, Your Honor, I think that's contrary to U.S. versus Chicago. But let me, if I may, I would like to be sure that I can get in a second point that I'd like to make. And that is, there's an issue of the statewide application here, but there's also an issue of whether the new certification rules are going to be applied to currently certified teachers, which is what at least the teacher interveners in this matter are. And as the first time when the Illinois State Board issued the specific proposed rules that it was establishing, this is in March 2000, it issued a press release and sent letters to every Illinois special education teacher, and this is in the record at docket number 246, which assured them that these new rules are only going to affect persons who are in begin teacher training after January 2003, and it said those of you already certified as special education teachers will not be affected. You will be able to retain your current certification for the rest of your career. And there was understandably some reliance, I think, by the potential interveners on this assurance. And in fact, if the teachers had attempted to intervene at that point, I think it's quite possible that the court would have justifiably said, these rules don't affect you. You don't have an interest which is sufficiently concrete. And it's only starting in February, the end of February 2001, when the district court orders the ISBE to issue transition rules that would apply to currently certified teachers. The ISBE issued a draft, revised it, and submitted it to the court monitor on April 30th, 2001, and we moved to intervene a week later. After we moved to intervene, that issue of the certification rules was litigated in the district court during the month of June. All parties objected to the monitor's orders. There were briefs submitted on that, reply briefs. On June 28th, nearly 2 months after we had moved to intervene, the district court finally ordered that these transition rules be implemented.
But could I anticipate that maybe the Corey H. plaintiffs would say to you, even under the system involved, the special education teachers don't risk losing their certification? Your argument's a more subtle one, that A, they'll be forced into a classroom where they feel they're not fully trained to handle certain kinds of disabilities.
Not trained at all, if I may.
Not trained at all, for certain. Fine, that's whatever. But in other words, they're not worried about that they won't have a certificate. They're worried that they themselves won't have the training. And the other problem, as I understand it, is that you're concerned that this is in effect ratcheted up what they need to do in their continuing education obligations above and beyond what it was. And as to the second point, I don't see where they have an interest under state law, or certainly under federal law, not to have continuing education requirements revised upwards. Lawyers certainly have experienced that over the years.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And if they had been, if this had been done legally, they would have no claim. What they're claiming is that the terms and conditions of their teaching certificates, which are a property interest, the terms and conditions of these teaching certificates were modified through an illegal process.
But I don't see why the State Administrative Procedure Act is relevant to a federal court's remedial order.
The
it
federal
reminds me of the old interposition doctrines in the South.
Well, this is not a federal court's remedial in the first instance, what the federal court ordered is that the Illinois State Board of Education draft new rules. The board did so. The court, rightly, did not specify what rules it had to draft. This was a choice made by the Illinois State Board of Education. If it had adopted some of the other proposals which were offered by its Blue Ribbon panels and other experts that it itself impaneled, we might well not be here today. But it's the Illinois State Board of Education that adopted the specific proposal which, frankly, the entire special education community in this state believes is going to result in a disaster in special education. And that's why we're here, because of the rules that the State Board of Education chose to adopt in response to Judge Gettleman's mandate that they adopt new rules.
But Judge Gettleman was the reason they adopted those rules, and I think he said, again, this obviously you can dispute, but I thought he was saying this is done because I'm trying to find a way of remedying the violation that's as consistent as possible with federalism and comity and the like, and he said they're the court's rules.
They were the State Board of Education's rules proposed pursuant to a court order, and certainly, I mean, I think this is anticipating the merits of our case, but as far as the federalism, it seems to me that you know, here you have rules being adopted, which the judge tells the board to adopt through your normal rulemaking process, and then when the normal rulemaking process, which includes the component of legislative review, does not yield what the judge wants, then he invokes the supremacy clause.
Right. And, well, what's wrong with that?
I mean, what's wrong with that is not...
If a school was required to be desegregating and the state legislature passed a resolution saying don't desegregate, the federal court wouldn't be required
that's
to
not,
the state
that's
law.
Right. That's right, Your Honor. Certainly a federal court has, as an abstract matter, has the authority, if necessary, to override state law, but that has to be done very cautiously. And what happened here is not the state legislature saying, we refuse to adopt any rules which are moving more in the direction of non-categorical systems. What it said is the specific rules that the Illinois State Board of Education has chosen are going to be a disaster. They're a threat to the safety and welfare of the people of the state, and especially special education students, and we want the rulemaking process to go back and start again with something that's going to work a little bit better. If I may, I'd like to reserve the rest of the time.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. It's Kathleen Gibbons on behalf of the Board of Education of the City of Chicago. Myself and Mr. John Alton will be arguing on behalf of the appellees, and I will address the timeliness issue, and then Mr. Elson will address the standing and adequacy of representation.
And I understand you're taking 5 minutes?
Correct.
All right.
Yes, I'll have 5 minutes on the clock, please. As you have already pointed out, the Reed L. interveners or potential interveners are being very disingenuous as they stand before you.
I didn't say that.
Well, no, but as I am taking from what you said, they are. Their argument is disingenuous because they are splitting hairs, they want their cake and eat it too, and they are using smoke and mirrors here. First of all, their claims that this new learning behavior specialist one system will somehow result in a disaster with unqualified teachers in the state of Illinois is total speculation without any support. And in fact, as the record clearly states, teachers today currently in Illinois can teach children for which they are not certified and trained. The example they give you in their brief of a teacher who is trained as a learning disabled teacher might be given a child who has the label trainable mentally handicapped can occur today. The limited LBS 1 certificate freezes the current type of system for 3 years, and that has been since the early 90s, a teacher can teach one off certificate. So teachers in Illinois are faced every day with facing children they did not receive training for in college. We have groups of children, children with autism, traumatic brain injury, and other health impaired, who Illinois has never trained nor certified a teacher to teach. That is why Judge Gettleman came up with his decision in February of 1998. Illinois has an antiquated way of certifying and training its teachers, and the new system is an attempt to try to get those teachers trained.
But what about Mr. West's timeliness point? Just to take one of his arguments about the distinction between new teachers and existing teachers who all of a sudden see that they will be in a different position and didn't know that until the transition rules were developed.
I believe the record clearly indicates that is not true. Judge Gettleman's decision issued on February 19, 1998 says the system in Illinois is antiquated. It doesn't say the new system. It doesn't say the old system. It says current teachers are not trained to teach these children. That should have been their first red flag. Then in June 19th, 1999, when the fairness hearing was held, notice went out to all current teachers in the state of Illinois, and we were inundated with responses from current teachers, from the IEA, the Illinois Education Association, which the teacher interveners are all active members of.
Is that when you think they should have intervened? I mean, is there a moment?
Yes, they should have intervened at the point sometime between Judge Gettleman's ruling, when it became apparent that certification would change in Illinois, and then particularly at the fairness hearing, Judge Gettleman himself at the fairness hearing looked out at the crowd and said, why has no one intervened? If you are this concerned about teacher certification, someone should intervene or have at least done an amicus brief. And no one did. They waited 3 more years. They waited until ISBE had gone through its blue ribbon committees, its panels A and B, and proposed something in March of 2000. And now in March of 2000, it was the new standards. It would be the standard for the new teachers coming out. But in June of 2000, when Judge Schneider, the court-appointed monitor for Corey H., reviewed that proposal, it was clear from his decision, current teachers, you're going to have to do some training. In his decision was the infamous 50% rule, which they're quoting, where new teachers have to, their professional development plans have to be in areas where they're not currently certified to get them transitioned in. Whenever a certification system changes, you are taking a very big risk to sit on the sidelines hoping and praying you'll be grandfathered in, which is exactly what they were thinking and hoping, that we'll wait till it's set in stone. And that's exactly what they said here. We waited till it was set in stone, and then we thought, uh-oh, we better move. They should have come in sooner to help set it in stone, because since February 19th, 1998, it was clear teacher training in Illinois would change. And they did not intervene until almost 2.5 months after Judge Gettleman issued his February 27th order overriding JCAR.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Giffen. Mr. Elson.
Good morning. The Supreme Court in Lujan has taught that standing is not an exercise in the conceivable. What interveners have alleged here with respect to the concrete, particularized injury requirement is an exercise in the counterfactual.
You know, the interveners have suggested in their reply brief that all the benefits of the settlement agreement have inured solely to the Chicago group. Is that a fair statement in your view?
Oh, it's not. That, in the first place, that statement really doesn't have anything to do with a challenge to the certification requirement. I think what that statement really does show is that they are, in fact, attempting to upset the entire settlement agreement. Judge Gettleman's 1998 decision, as their complaint alleges, that all that was without authority, without jurisdiction, and illegal. And their complaint about this funding of Chicago is illustrated, I think, of their real motive here, which is to upset everything, as Judge Gettleman found.
Well, that may be, but they do say, I had noticed this too, on page 31 of their reply brief, that the ISBE is providing $2.75 million each year under the settlement agreement to the Chicago Board for training assistance and supervision for Chicago teachers. And in other words, these new training obligations are being accomplished through much more help from the state in Chicago than non-Chicago districts will have. Is that, maybe that's the same question Judge Romer just asked, but
Well, certainly there is a special program to try to educate and develop Chicago schools' abilities to transfer to a more LRE-compliant system, and that's part of the reason after trial there was a finding that Chicago was one of the worst school districts in the country with respect to that. I submit that that does not at all implicate whether or not the certification requirement to the LBS 1 standard is it all inappropriate, or there's any evidence that that has caused any injury to any student, future injury to any student.
Well, yeah, I mean, your argument, as I understand it, moving over to standing for a moment, is that when we consider the students, any particular student who thought that there was a problem with the program would have the normal rights under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, and that the teachers are asserting only a procedural right, which isn't in and of itself protectable. Is that a fair summary?
Oh, that's right, yes. I think under your decision in the Sokogan-Chippewa case, clearly a procedural right, naked procedural right isn't itself sufficient, and that's what they're arguing. The legal violation of the Illinois Administrative Procedure Act would at most be a naked procedural right, since, as you pointed out, that there is no license. They have no state entitlement to teach only students in one disability group. The state law on that is very clear that they have no such right, and they have no right to object to professional continuing education requirements either. So when it comes down to what their real interests are, they are certainly not state-created entitlements at all. So all they're arguing is a naked procedural right. Even then, as we argued, the Federal Supremacy Clause controls, because what the state legislature did when Judge Gettleman attempted to go through the state rules in implementing an LRE compliance system was to give them an opportunity to use the normal state processes, but in fact the legislature just nullified all of those attempts completely and made specific findings that it would be too expensive to develop a program that by which teachers would teach students in the least restrictive environment. It was a total, really, a declaration of war on the LRE requirement. And
What's your response to the proposed intervener's argument that without their formal participation in the case, we're really missing one leg of the stool? We don't have a strong adversary presentation from those who think that this particular system really doesn't come to the right balance.
Yeah, I think Judge Gettleman also addressed that when he found that the Illinois State Board of Education was adequately representing all of the students and teachers' interests in Illinois. They litigated this case very vigorously, as he found. We had a 5-day trial. They opposed or made a lot of alternative propositions with respect to the remedy. And they went to all sorts of panels and took a lot of time and effort, went to statewide hearings in developing their LBS 1 proposal. So there's just no factual support to say that the Illinois State Board of Education was somehow delinquent in not considering all points of views. And of course, Judge Gettleman had a fairness hearing as well, and the Illinois Education Association was an active participant in all of those in those proceedings. So in terms of adequate representation, another prong of the standing doctrine, we think there is no argument here that the Illinois State Board has not adequately represented their interests. And besides that, proposed interveners have expressed no point of view that is really different from that expressed by the plaintiffs
or the Chicago Board of Education with respect to least restrictive environment. They say they don't disagree that Judge Gettleman was right in finding that Illinois, the ISBE's implementation, the old certification system, was illegal. And they don't, Mr. West just said, they are not opposed to a less categorical system. So they've never really addressed what is the matter with the way the ISB has proceeded in this case, substantively in terms of differences. They do disagree, of course, with the some aspects of this LBS 1 proposal.
But who would take a hypothetical appeal to this court saying that the remedy that has been developed, I'll just say, in cooperation with ISBE by the district court or somehow, the remedy that's on the table itself violates the IDEA and people need to go back to the drawing board? No one takes that position who's presently before the court, is that right?
That the present proposal or present rules violate the IDEA.
Right, no one is saying that they fail somehow to, let's say, achieve an appropriate education.
But they do not challenge the new proposals in terms of the IDEA, the new rules in terms of the IDEA, because they deny a FAPE, a free appropriate education. They object because they say that they were not promulgated through the federal regulations notice and hearing requirements. And we argued this in the Reed L case, and the same argument applies here, that those are really for the funding proposals, and they don't at all apply to a federal court's remedial order under the IDEA. That would be just an unheard of kind of application of notice and hearing requirements. And that's what they say violates the IDEA, not that these new, the LBS 1 violates the IDEA. Certainly that would be a surprise to the very many states that have already enacted these non-categorical types of certification remedies. I would like to point out that if this court does find standing to for the students and teachers to intervene here, then the precedential effect of that could be enormous, because any student who felt that their future educational interests might be affected adversely by some regulation that the ISBE implemented that they don't like, they would have standing. For example, if they disagreed with the regulation on student-teacher ratios, or if they disagreed with the regulation on number of school days, or the regulation on certification that states that certification, they would rather have certification by age, say, rather than by disability group, then under their argument here, anybody with those kinds of objections would be able to have standing to intervene, because they think their future educational interests would not be served. And there's really no difference between that situation and the situation here. I'd also point out that Judge Gettleman did find that there was no danger to the educational interests of students because of the procedural safeguards of the IDEA as well. Also, under these new rules, this is the first time that teachers will actually be trained to teach students with varieties of types of handicaps in the LRE. And that's another safeguard to prevent the kind of speculative harm that that the interveners predict. My time is up. Perfect.
Thank you. I was going to give you a minute, but
okay. Let me just refer back to the United States versus Chicago decision, if I may. The argument was made there that the intervener should have moved. This was a case, you recall, where there was a suit brought by a minority, I believe it was police officers.
The women, yeah. Right.
And there were a number of decrees entered pursuant to that. The argument was made when the interveners much later tried to intervene that they should have moved to intervene back much earlier when it was clear that promotion decisions were at issue. And Judge Posner said that no, they were not required to intervene then. They could not, nor could the appellants have been expected to anticipate that the remedial decree in that case would not merely eliminate discrimination against blacks and Hispanics, but introduce blatant discrimination against whites. Our submission here is that in the same way, the remedial decree that's being entered is not simply remedying the problem that was identified by the plaintiffs when they first brought this action, but is in fact going much further and threatening the right of the student interveners to a free and appropriate public education. Our standing, I believe, is exactly on all fours with the standing of the plaintiffs when they brought this case in the first matter. They were alleging that their right to an education in the least restrictive environment was being denied. We're alleging that our right to a free and appropriate public education is going to be denied as well. Thank you.
Thanks to all parties for such a well-argued case. And the case will be taken under advisement.